Rave Radio.
Well, good afternoon, and at the close of day two of Amsterdam's ISE 2015, I'm sitting here with Gary Kay. Been a long day, been a great day of great exhibits. Gary, what did you think?
I'm tired. After day two, I'm tired. Today, there were more attendees at the show today than there were on day one, but there were some really cool things I saw, and I'm excited to tell you about them.
Well, then why don't you jump right in and do that, Gary?
All right. Well, first of all, one thing that I did before the show opened is I had a chance to go over the DNP booth, and I did a recording. I don't know if a whole lot of people know what's going on in the industry, but hopefully this video will help you guys out. There's a new standard called PISCAR, and it's a projected image contrast ratio system standard. And basically what it is it's a contrast ratio standard that was developed by Infocom and ANSI together. That dictates the required minimum contrast ratio for rooms. So if you're doing a medical imaging room, if you're doing a conference room, if you're doing a school, what are the minimum contrast ratios? Well, a lot of times, just putting in a brighter projector doesn't solve the problem because you don't maintain colorimetry in that case, in some cases.
Right.
Or, of course, you can turn off all the lights in the room. You're going to maximize contrast ratio, but that means everyone's sitting in a dark room. So the third way to maximize contrast ratio is change out the screen. Well, DNP, they've been in the business of ambient light rejection screens forever. In fact, that's their whole mantra when they started. They were the first company doing it, and they're still one of the only companies that actually does it in front screen and rear screen. And I did a demo in their booth. They weren't even there. I took this chance. So this is not like a plug for them. I took this chance to take a flashlight and shine it on the screen at different angles so you could see how it absorbs light and how ambient light rejection screens works. And I hope you'll check it out. It's on ravepubs.com/ISE2015, and all you have to do is type in DNP, and you'll see that video. It's about a 5-minute video, and it educates people on the PISCAR standard.
How's the standard test performed?
That's a good question. There's a whole standard white paper online on the ISE on the Infocom site, and I gave you a link to it. That's not my expertise, but there is a process that they use. But what I was trying to do is educate the integrators on the fact that the standard exists, which is really cool, because some design consultants are now starting to design systems to that standard, and so people might get confused when they see that on there and may not know that it's actually an ANSI adopted standard. So it's worth checking out. So that was one thing that I did on day one. I really enjoyed you shot an awesome video of the Tesla demo. So for those that have not seen the Tesla demo and the Panasonic, the image mapping demo that you shot an interview with, and that was incredible. We put that in our day two highlights for the show, the email that we sent out for the highlights. And I went and watched that full show yesterday, blown away. Would you agree?
It was amazing stuff. I mean, 8 projectors, it looked great. It's certainly drawn a lot of crowds. You know, sometimes I really wonder if that's the projection or the Tesla that's drawing the crowds.
Yeah, but I think both. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that are curious about Tesla, obviously.
And a lot of people are going, did you really paint a Tesla flat gray?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and actually, no, Gary found out it's a wrap.
Yeah, it's neat. It's a wrap. So I went over to the Barco stand again today, and they have they're claiming the world's quietest laser phosphor projector at 32 dB. I wrote a blog about it on our website, so you can check that out. That was interesting from today. The other thing I wanted to point out for today is a couple of things, actually. Both Williams Sound and Sennheiser both have an interesting way of doing personal distributed audio. So you know how when you go to fitness centers and they have the row of TVs and
right,
you dial
sure,
in a frequency on your little receiver on the treadmill and you can listen to whichever one you want? Or at a sports bar when there's like 50 TVs there and you want to be able to listen to the audio of just one, they've built iPhone apps and Android apps. So now all you do is you download the app of the place that you're at. So you download like a Gold's Gym app, or you download the sports bar app, or you download an app from Williams Sound or from Sennheiser if you don't want to have your own app wrapped. So
right.
This is an opportunity for integrators to sell software. And it's recurring revenue software because you can advertise on it as well. The app has a little place for you to advertise, so you can actually sell ads on that. And so the customer would come in and download
an app. Have you ever been in
a
situation where things came just a little too late? I had to do this for a gym for a major banking firm about 6 months ago, and we had to have the app developed to do it. So
yeah,
that was one for sale.
So Sennheiser and Williams Sound both have one. And what you do is you download the app, and boom, you have this custom app. that allows you to change channels, go, you know, hear the audio from any of the channels that. So if you're in a sports bar with 50 TVs, you literally can listen to any of the audio from any of the TVs. I think that's a future. I mean, it's an interesting concept, but what's really neat about it is the fact that there's a recurring revenue opportunity for integrators. So I shot a video of both. So if you go to our website, type in Williams Sound or Sennheiser, you'll find those two products there. In the case of Williams Sound, theirs is called the Hearing Hotspot. In the case of Sennheiser's, I forget what theirs is actually called off the top of my head. I'm going to have to look that up, but we'll move on to something else until I look that up. How's that, Joel?
That's great. No, it's been a really fascinating show. I had a couple of excellent interviews yesterday. I talked to a lot of people on the floor about, you know, just what the mood is here in Europe. It's amazing that the market is developing at an even faster rate than I would have said it would 10 years ago in the United States when we were going through, you know, just like major boom. And it's different here. I mean, this whole the idea that the show is a combination of Infocom and Cedia is really very, very apropos for the European market because it is a blended market here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people doing very high end home theater here now.
Yep. And you actually interviewed Tim Sinave yesterday at Barco.
I did. Yeah.
As a podcast, and that Barco is one of those companies that, you know, there was a time where no one would have a home theater projector for over $10,000 because the economy had hit rock bottom a few years ago, but now that's where they're starting. I mean, they've got a $15,000 and a $25,000 projector. Their little demo room. Did you have a chance to go over to the Barco demo?
I haven't yet. I'm scheduled to do it this afternoon.
Yeah, it's amazing. By the way, that Sennheiser app is called Mobile Connect. So those two companies have a recurring revenue opportunity for integrators. I think that we ought to take advantage of. Also went over to Jupiter Systems. We had reported this early. We broke the story actually, I believe. I think we were the first ones to report about the Canvas CRS 4K. It's basically a huddle room system from Jupiter Systems. Now, what's interesting about that is they build these super high-end video wall systems, so they brought their technology down to small huddle rooms. So, and in their case, they're the only ones that I know of that have a 4K resolution huddle room. So when you're doing the four screens on one, you know, the where you're dividing the images, you're actually getting four 1080 images as opposed to taking a 1080 native resolution image like ClickShare does and divide it into four quadrants. So it's like a ClickShare-ish type product that's 4K resolution. Of course, it's more expensive than the other ones out there, but you get what you pay for.
Sure, sure. You know, it's been interesting to see how many things have developed in that wireless market. There's got to be 20 solutions for it on the floor here today.
The word collaboration is the word of the year.
Oh, absolutely.
Last year, 4K. This year,
right.
Collaboration.
It used to be unified communications. Unified communications has vanished. It's now collaboration.
Yeah. And by the way, for those of you who have been paying attention to what's going on in the LCD versus DLP market, one of the things that Epson, Sony, and a couple of the other big LCD companies have been pushing is this thing called color light output. And I really didn't totally understand color light output until this year, or until the end of last year when I went to Epson and they educated me on it.
Well, I don't understand it now, so why don't you tell us?
Well, I'll tell you. We shot a video on it yesterday, Epson does a good job in a minute and a half explaining what color light output is. And basically what it is the fact that you have a colors output, or sorry, light output's perception, right?
Sure, I mean, absolutely.
There's some measurements you can take, but it's all perception.
I'm a photographer. Your eyes are much more sensitive to some frequencies than they are
exactly.
to others.
Exactly. So when you have more color, so you have more depth of field, then you have a higher contrast ratio, and perceptually you get more more light output.
Sure.
And that's the concept behind color light output. And all they're trying to do is educate you so that you understand what you're looking at. And that's what's great about it. It doesn't favor LCD or doesn't favor DLP or doesn't, it's not anti-DLP. It's just another way of looking at it, because ANSI standard, in this case, we all know this, the manufacturers kind of cheat here and there, right? They'll
not cheat, it's an interpretation, Gary.
Yeah, man, there's a few that have been cheating where they, well, they'll
call
say
it
something
broad interpretation.
2,000, you know, 2,000 ANSI lumens, and it's really 1,000. But you know what happened is projectors got so bright nobody cared. But so what's happened now is that what's more important than just light output is contrast ratio and colorimetry. And this addresses contrast ratio and colorimetry. So I'd suggest you go take a look at it. It's a video we shot at the Epson stands, and it says Epson introduces color light output. Go into our video section on ravepubs.com/ISE 2015 and search Epson, and you'll find that video. And we're not getting paid by them. This is not an endorsement or anything. This is just me trying to educate you guys on what to look for. And those are the things I saw yesterday that were most impressive to me, Joel.
I saw all kinds of impressive things yesterday. I mean,
today. I keep saying yesterday, and we're still here. Today, yeah. Sorry.
I saw all kinds of things that were impressive, from a 45,000 lumen projection system down to what is my most unusual product of the show for this year. Last year it was the bar fridge with the video player built into the front. This year it's Catchbox. It's foam throwable wireless microphone. Available in multiple frequencies. You can use Sennheiser or Shure transmitters in it, but it's got an accelerometer to keep the microphone from making noise while being thrown. So it's a big, soft, throwable, neon-colored thing.
It's like a Nerf ball.
It's been used over here by Google for meetings. But anyway, when you get a chance, take a look at the Catchbox video or take a look at getcatchbox.com.
I was really impressed. You educated me on it. I got to look at that. And I was like, "What's the big deal? It's just a microphone and a Nerf ball." But yeah, it's really neat. And by the way, I thought I'd mention the highest pixel pitch LED I've seen so far is the Samsung 1.1 pixel pitch LED, and I think that's worth looking at too.
Samsung has an impressive booth.
Huge. We said it earlier yesterday. I think that they're going to take all of Hall 4 next year. So yeah, they're
are
getting
they
bigger.
Really?
Yeah, they're taking all of Hall 4. So.
And that's one of the reasons we're going to a 4-day show too.
Yeah, what?
It's gonna now be if a they could show. Only expand the streets.
Yeah, exactly. The aisles and the streets, and how about adding taxis? Because that's the only sort of complaint I have here at the show. But anyway, so that's my observations of day two.
And mine as well. And we've got interviews coming in all day long for day three, and I'm looking forward to talking to you then. Thanks for being with me, Gary.
Thank you.